Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders, where we learn about the bold path of building digital products that sell themselves. Let's listen to product leaders who can give us a glimpse into the innovative thinking process. Showcasing and celebrating these awesome folks, I'm your host, UX and product design veteran, Thomas Watkins. Welcome to Product-Led Growth Leaders. We've got a great guest for the show today, Ravi Pratap Madamseti. He has a lengthy background developing lots of software, innovating all over the place. And today he is co-founder and CTO of Unicode, spelled with a Q for the code part, which is striving to enable digital connections between every physical object, every place and thing on the planet. So really excited to talk about that. Ravi, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much for having me, Thomas.
Absolutely. Thank you for being here. So let's start off by grounding ourselves in the problem. What is the problem? What are some examples of the problems that people face today before they are able to experience the solutions from Unicode?
Yeah, so fundamentally, I think one of the challenges that businesses, that's our core audience, businesses essentially want to be able to communicate with their customers and have them go to a destination of sorts, take an action, let's say, go to a website, download an app, what have you. And as QR codes have become pretty popular and everyone knows how to scan a QR code thanks to COVID. And the problem really is, how do you get a QR code that you can place on maybe some signage? How do you put it on a package, or how do you put it on your product? And so the problem is generating a QR code and then having that QR code take someone when it's scanned to a certain destination. But also more importantly, how do you make sure that you can modify the behavior of that QR code after it's been physically printed? And I think that's the key thing here, which is what we refer to as a dynamic QR code.
Okay, so this is really interesting. Let me try to recite what you're saying. You are trying to, so a person wants to give an identity to an object, and presumably to track it or to give somebody access to something about it. And okay, so I'm with you so far on that one. What are some common scenarios that people want to achieve? Is it a product being sold? Is it an ad? Let's go through those.
Basically, yeah, most of the time, businesses that we call IRL businesses, right? So in real life, businesses that have physical products and assets, they're trying to get, let's take an example of one of our customers. L'Oreal has products and they want to deliver some information to the consumer when they're looking at that product. Let's say when they're at the store, they want to know more about this product. Let's say it claims that it's sustainable and it uses certain whatever ingredients and so on. Now, the QR code on that product is likely to be scanned because the consumer in question is thinking, can I learn more about this product? Like it says, it's sustainable beauty and so on. So they scan the QR code on the product package or on the product itself to learn more. Or it could be something as simple as you buy
a bottle. I have a shirt and
yes, exactly.
This was designed in Italy, manufactured in Malaysia or wherever. Like, and I could see some standard like page about it or something like that.
A web page of, yeah, exactly. So go to a web page or some destination. That's informational. Now, there are many use cases. It could be like, in some cases, it could be sign up for our rewards program. And this is inside a retail store like Sam's Club, let's say. So it depends on the use case. But generally speaking, businesses that want to engage their consumers through marketing channels, that's where we come in. So we are primarily used by marketers inside the marketing folks, marketing professionals love to use QR codes to communicate with their audience. And that's what Unicode does for them. It's a tool for marketing professionals to use and put it to essentially leverage QR codes at scale.
How much does this overlap with IoT?
IoT, good question.
For the audience, Internet of Things.
I don't see this, or we don't think this is IoT at all, because IoT is typically devices that can communicate on their own, and there's some kind of electronics, and it connects to the
Oh, that
network, and
is
so on.
different. That is different. It's because I'm thinking of things having an identity, but those are they're almost like computers that they talk
That's
to each
correct.
other,
That's
things like
right.
that. This is simply like almost like a tagging labeling
That's correct.
system that allows you to connect to a system. So it doesn't have its own
That's right.
agency or computational element. It's just here's what I am
That's right.
thing.
Yeah. So it's at its core, it's basically a way for you to encode some information. Like for the business, it could be like a URL or whatever that they want the consumer to scan and go to. So that's what it is. It's just a label, as you said. And actually, QR codes, since we're on that topic, they're actually derived from barcodes. And we've all seen barcodes, right? All of us see those white and black stripes on products. Barcodes are called one-dimensional barcode, one-dimensional whatever. And QR codes are basically two-dimensional in that sense. And so they're an evolution of barcodes. But the reason they're compelling and the reason, they've become so popular is because a QR code can be scanned by any smartphone on the planet. And that's what makes it consumer friendly. It makes it instantly accessible around the world, right? The billions of smartphones on the planet, they can all scan QR codes. And it's intuitive because also it's a URL that you can put there. So it's like typing up a website destination on your browser.
So just a quick question about QR codes. It won't stay on this topic too long, but it's
Sure.
just interesting to me because it
Yeah.
seems like there's basically an infinite amount, functionally infinite amount of QR codes you can create. So why is that? It's you've got your square and you've got all of the little dots and squares,
Yeah.
and in that arrangement, there's so many permutations. It's like gajillions
That's
of
right.
permutations. But is it also the case that the QR code itself can be different sizes? So you have different, like I could have, is correct me if I'm
The
wrong, but you
size, yeah. The size doesn't change how
No,
much information you
so I meant, that's not what I meant by sizes. What I meant by like the size of the matrix. I don't know what the matrix is. Is it
Oh,
20
that's
by
correct.
20 or
Yeah,
30 by
right.
30? But can that change? Can I have
That's right.
a 20 by 20 QR code and a 50 by 50 or 100 by 100? Is
There's a
that the case? Or
standard to
they
it.
st they're
Yeah.
standard.
There
Okay.
are standards, but you're right. There are some code, like the matrix is smaller if you don't need to encode as much information. If you need to encode more information, the matrix can go up to a certain, like you said, 30 by 30, 50 by 50, or whatever. But yes, that is correct. At its core, you're absolutely right. That's how more information is encoded in that code.
And so that's why it's like basically infinite. Like anyone, anytime can just assign a new QR, just invent a new QR code and assign it to
Yes.
anything. And you're
Yeah.
basically never gonna run out,
Yeah.
because it's like an astronomical number.
And also, the important thing is that the QR code is not just a number there. So, if you read the data on the QR code, it can be numbers, it can be letters, it can be anything. That's why a QR code can have a website URL in it. So, it could be https://www.unicode.com. That could be actually embedded inside the QR code itself. And that allows you to basically leverage the entire internet, right? And in that sense, you're not limited to a series of numbers, which then have to be looked up somewhere.
Okay, Ravi, when someone is using, they're a user of Unicode. What is that experience like? What are they doing? So they
Yeah.
log into a software and they're managing a set of objects. How does this come together?
Yeah. So let me just walk you through why a business decides to get a software solution like Unicode. When businesses start using QR codes, the way it goes is someone in the office is told, hey, can we put a QR code on this? And then they basically just find something online, find a free tool, generate a code, slap it on. And that's good enough if it's a one-off use case. But then what happens is over time, the business starts discovering that they're doing two, three, four, five, 10 codes a month, and now they're starting to lose track of the codes because they don't know which one was generated where. They don't know who did it. Did that employee leave? Where did they put it? All of those things. So that is a system of record problem, right? Which is, do we have a single system in which all our codes are? That's problem number one. But even before that, many times people, that is these marketers who put QR codes on for various purposes, they want to know how the QR code is performing. They would be like, hey, did we get like 100 scans on this? Did we get 1,000? Like, where do we get the scans from? We sent this out, we put it in this whatever, in these retail stores, and which stores got the most scans? You want to know the analytics, that you want to track behavior. And that's where the QR code needs to be more sophisticated. It needs to be something generated from a company like us, which is, it's got all these capabilities built into it. Now, a business will find that if they just use whatever's out there, many times the QR codes, the free code, so to speak, you can't really track analytics, you can't see data, you can't do anything like that. Where we come in is a business quickly realizes that, okay, listen, I need a single system in which I put all my codes, I generate them, and then I can track them and I can manage them all in one place. So if I decide this code, I'm deleting it, I don't need it anymore, I'm not putting it on the package anymore, I can do that in the system. And so that is when they seek a platform like ours, so that they don't have this chaos inside the company where different people are doing different things and they're losing track of all of the codes and the data behind them, and they're unable to get the analytics.
Gotcha. So it almost, is it fair to think of it as like an ERP of like information management in it, because it's, I want to say it's about QR codes, but in a way it's not just about QR codes, it seems. It's about giving people the ability to springboard from something physical into anything. And that can
Right.
be a marketing campaign, it could be informational, and it could be any of these things, but
That's
it's really
right.
connecting like reality with information.
That is correct. And that's actually what we view that as our mission, right? How we connect the physical world to digital touch points, or essentially digital connections. And that's what we think that these QR codes are doing.
Could we take a moment to imagine for the audience what a world, so let's say that it's 5 years from now, 10 years from now, and this becomes a norm.
Right.
How does the world look different from today?
Great
Maybe in some
question.
examples, like maybe I walk into a store and I'm able to just instantly see, instead of trying to
Yeah.
Google image something
That's
to
right.
see what where.
Yeah. No, actually, you're exactly on the right track, Thomas. So you walk into a store, you decide to, you're looking for a specific kind of product, and you walk over, you see a bunch of products there. Now, as you said, typically all of us, or most of us these days, will pull up our phones, start typing in the name of the product, try to put in some model numbers in there, try to find it on Google, and then try to learn something about it, let's say reviews or whatever. Now, in this world, you would walk into the store, you'd find a product, or maybe five products on the shelf, and each product has its own QR code that's on the product itself. So the company that's manufacturing that product gives you the QR code right there, and you can scan it immediately. You don't need to fumble around and try to get the model number and so on and so forth. And then the QR code now takes you to a destination, which is an entire website of sorts, where you can now see things like maybe provenance information. You want to know where this is coming from. Maybe it's a perishable, like maybe it's a consumable good, and you want to know, okay, where was this water packaged? Just as an example. I know it's not perishable, but you might want to look at information around the product itself. Maybe you're buying something that you want to make sure the nutrition facts around it. There's some basic information on the package, but you really want to learn more about the manufacturing process and so on and so forth. So you would scan the QR code, learn what you have to, and then you're like satisfied with it. You would go to the checkout counter. Now the same QR code, which has now replaced the barcode, you don't need a separate barcode anymore. The same QR code is used by the checkout clerk to basically have the POS recognize that product. So the same QR code you scanned is the same QR code that they're scanning at the checkout counter. You buy the product, and now you head home. And let's say this is a Black and Decker vacuum cleaner, right? And now you want to access all the product registration information, warranty, you want to get access to the manual. You scan the same QR code, and now the QR code can tell you, hey, here's all the PDFs. Here's the manual that you need. Here's the warranty information. Click here to register. You don't have any of this paper. You don't need to fill out all these forms, put them in the mail. All of that goes away. You get basically the same QR code is now serving a post-sale function, like a support function, if you will. And maybe you want to Let's say it's not a vacuum cleaner, but it's something more complex. And maybe you want to schedule a service visit, and you can scan that same QR code and say, look, maybe it's a washing machine, right? And then you scan the QR code and it gives you an option to schedule like a technician to come over, visit it. And that same experience is being delivered through the QR code that's already on the washing machine. Just as an example here.
Yeah.
You see how this multi-purpose QR code is essentially serving different needs. It was probably used for something else before it was sold. So pre-sale, post-sale, at the time of manufacturing, maybe it was being used at the warehouse for stocking inventory.
I just think I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I'm just, my mind's bursting with, because there's a whole world of opportunities, like the washing machine or whatever example that you just gave. You could say, oh, it's broken. There's part, and you scan it and you go to some page and have the parts listed there or something that. Or
exactly.
You can imagine grocery stores having something where I could look up, oh, this was grown in a farm in California and it's an organic farm. I like that, or something like that. There's really a lot of possibilities for the future, especially for marketing firms who want to assist businesses who aren't really thinking about this kind of thing, but it could be a whole kind of layer of perks.
Yeah. And the other thing we think about it is a very powerful, in our view, a very powerful unlock for businesses that actually have no way to talk to their customers. I'll give you an example. Monster Energy. Monster Energy makes these drinks. All of us see these drinks in various places and stores and so on. But they're all sold through retail distribution channels. And Monster has no idea that it's Thomas that's buying. Just as an example, let's say buying a product. They don't know, have no way to communicate with you. How do they talk to you? How do they get you to come and interact with, just engage with them? So we think this is really powerful for what we call IRL businesses, because IRL businesses now have a direct communication channel to the customers that are their customers who actually care about their products, but don't actually know the company directly or don't have an engagement channel. Yeah.
Excellent. So, really great stuff. Go ahead.
So I was saying, just to round it out, it's basically about enabling customer intelligence and enabling customer engagement for these IRL businesses in the physical world.
Ladies and gentlemen, we've been speaking with Ravi Pratap Madamseti of Unicode. How do people get started with Unicode?
Just head to www.unicode.com and you can just sign up for a trial. That's Unicode with a Q, UNIQODE.com.
That's right. Don't go to that. Unicode, UNA-code, I think, code with a Q.
Code with a Q. There's no dash or anything. It's just a single word.
Oh, gotcha. I'm sorry, I wrote that in my notes.
It's UNIQODE. That's correct, .com, yeah.
Excellent, excellent. Really exciting stuff to hear about. Thanks for telling us about it, and thank you for being with us today.
Thanks for having me, Thomas. It was a real pleasure.
Thank you for tuning in. Join us next time on Product-Led Growth Leaders. Take care.